spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. thousand stories away. They think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. Tell me you're pleased and I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are.
To be praised. Jesus, I thank you that you said in Revelation that, behold, I am the living one. I died, but now I'm alive again, and I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Lord, I thank you that you transferred that power by the power of your Holy Spirit into us, Lord. I thank you now that we have that Holy Spirit power and authority flowing through our veins today. Lord, you didn't leave us comfortless, Lord, but now we have the Comforter, God. We have our strength, Lord. Thank you that you're an ever-present help in times of trouble, God. Thank you that your word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, have your way in this service today. Thank you that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that we feel the weight of your glory in this place today. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're worthy. You're a good, good Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's a Muslim. And we had a good conversation. And he didn't know I was a Christian. And we got on the subject of prayer. And he started telling me about all the rules and requirements and regulations that he had to meet. And he said, you know, there's certain requirements that we have to meet or our God will be mad at us. And he said, you know, we have certain times we have to pray at 6 a.m. and then we have to pray at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. And he went all the way around. He said, we even have to get up and pray at 4:30 in the morning. And I said, so what do you do if you're sleeping? He said, well, I have my alarm set. And when my alarm goes off, I just get out of my bed and roll over and I pray to my God. And I said, man, that's impressive. I said, man, I was thinking to myself, well, if Christians could only be that dedicated in prayer. But I said, well, man, I said, let me ask you this. He didn't know I was a Christian. I said, what's the best prayer that you've asked your God? And he actually came through and answered it for you. And he looked at me. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, well, yeah, I am. But he said, you know, we don't pray to get anything. We just pray so that our God isn't mad at us. It's a requirement. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we serve a prayer-answering God. Amen. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Come on, somebody. Anyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. And anyone who knocks, the door shall be open unto them. Amen. You serve a prayer-answering God. Can I tell you today that if you ever hear somebody say, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. Can I tell you, the next time somebody says that, you tell them, say, I tell you what, I'll give you $100,000 if you can find that for me in the Bible. But if you can't find it, you owe me $100,000. You're not going to find it in there. Amen? God is more willing to answer than we are willing to ask. Amen? Come on. Somebody give God praise. He's a prayer answering God. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Carpenter Shop Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Blessed and highly favored, amen. Well, if you're a first-time guest in the house today, we're so glad you're here. Before you leave, we have a free gift for you out in the foyer at the Welcome Center. We just want to connect with you and love on you, amen. Well, anybody ready for tithe and offering? Come on, come on. I like that. A church that loves to give. That's what I'm talking about. Well, as our ushers get in position and as you prepare for your tithe and offering, so many ways to give this morning. You can give by check to CSIC, or you can give online on the CSIC online app. Amen. Well, let's worship as we give.
A 100 million galaxies of all. looking out over the audience, and it's wonderful, wonderful to be a part of a church and a church like this. You know, I always feel blessed to step in the door, but I was looking out, just looking out, I noticed people with their hands raised, praising. I noticed people hugging each other, loving on one another, you know, maybe talking about issues and trying to help each other through problems. You know, I noticed a family. We're not just here for ourselves, but we're here for each other. We're a family. And above all else, looking out, every single person, you know what I noticed? Each and every one of you out there, I noticed you are a child of God. Amen. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror. Maybe I'm not alone with this. Sometimes, you know, you look at yourself and you just wonder, man, where has the time gone? And how did you get where you are? And what are you going to do now? And, you know, you just scratch your head sometimes and think, where is my identity? What am I? You know, what is this all about? And let me just encourage somebody, if you find yourself in that position, a little thing I've started trying to remind myself every single day when you look in the mirror, remember where your identity rests. You are a child of God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're excited upstairs to continue our ministries. This week we are having a celebration. We're talking about the Feast of the First Fruits and celebrating all the things that God has provided and remembering those things, not just taking them for granted, but remembering. So we're going to review back over what we talked about the past few weeks and have a celebration on that. Kids Church is for kids age 3 through 6th grade. And parents, you can take your kids to the check-in table this time and pick them up at the end of service. Thank you.
Psalms 46 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." The reality of a lot of our problems is that we don't be still long enough. Be still and know that I'm God. One day I was shopping in the store and I was in a hurry. I'm a very left-brained male. And if your wife says, "I need milk," then you go in the store and there's only one thing you're looking for, and that's milk. All the rest of that stuff doesn't really matter. So I grab the milk, I get in line, I'm looking to see where's the shortest, and I'm trying to find a place where I can get out of here quickly, and I had to wait like 4 or 5 people deep. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "Finally, I need you to be still." I said, "What, Lord?" He said, "Finally, I got you to be still for a minute. Just wait." And in the line of that grocery store, I began to weep. Nobody else knew it. They weren't big tears. No, not the kind you'd have a water fight with. But I just wept. The tears rolled down my face. And I stood there and I said, "God, I'm sorry." So many times I'm so high speed that I just factor you right out of my equations. And you can't manage everything. I'm learning that hard, I guess. You can't always manage everything. You have to be willing to lay other things down, give things to other people. Praise the Lord. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Amen. We're made to worship. We are created to house the presence of God. And created, we are the, Paul said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. And then he says, you're not your own. Amen. You're not your own. This is really not you that owns this tabernacle, this human body. We're created to house God's presence. And so I told the people in Bible study last Wednesday night, we're like porta-johns. Amen. That's probably not a good analogy, but it worked. So we're portable temples, and the earth is full of them. And that's why Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. The city set upon a hill should never be hidden. I'd encourage you to get involved in Bible study. You know, this year is going to be a year of acceleration. I think I said this year is going to be a year of acceleration. You know, moving forward. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about God just doing some high-speed accelerating in my life. Not wearing me out, but moving me forward in a means that I could never do myself, even at my fast. Are y'all getting this revelation? Come on. Are y'all getting this? This is a year of acceleration. I've already seen it take place in my life, and we're, what, 20 days into January? I've already seen God things in my life. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. Prophetic words have come my way. Pastor Bernie, thank you for your obedience to the Holy Spirit. He sent me a text message early one morning, probably 6 o'clock. I was up. And he probably didn't even know. I probably haven't even acknowledged, but I thought, I'll take that. It was a prophetic strength for me for right where I was that day. And God's going to do that, beloved. If you're here this morning and you need to hear from the Lord, you're in the right place at the right time. Let's be doing the right thing. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our mind. Let's open our spirit to receive what God has for us. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys do an incredible job leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm in a series on the church. We're studying in the back on Wednesday nights. We're studying about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. And we're going to take a journey about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to take a journey and talk about the Spirit of God, but we're also going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. You get what you preach. If you don't know that, I've been preaching long enough to know it, you get what you preach. So if you preach about the Holy Ghost and you preach about the church, guess what's getting ready to happen? God's getting ready to accelerate the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the church is going to move forward this year. It is. It's already moving forward, but it's going to move forward even faster. Amen? It's really not the will of God that we see any burgundy at all in this building. You should wrap every one of them up with your friends. You should have brought someone to church with you. You should have invited someone. Statistics tell us that people would come if they were only invited. Hello? People would come to church if they were only invited. Amen? And so it's our job. You really should be bringing people to church. You really should be making it your purpose every week. Who can I target? I do this all the time. I target people and go after them, and I watch them. Amen? I'm like a secret agent man. Amen? I'm a messenger on assignment sent by the Holy Ghost to planet Earth disguised as a white man. Amen? Hallelujah. Did y'all get that? I'll say it again. I'm a messenger on assignment, a secret agent of the Holy Ghost sent from heaven to earth disguised as a white man. That's not in the books, but hey, it felt good to me when I said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, Carpenter Shop Church. I love you. I love you. I love your mixture. I love your variety. I love your diversity. I love your giftings. I love your faithfulness. Amen. And I want to see God do incredible things. If you want to make a pastor happy, then get involved in what God is doing. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. What's the title of our message? The Church Then and Now is the series today, A Living Transformation. A Living Transformation. And when you come into church, that's a good picture right there, the one on the left. Amen. That's a good picture right there, because it's a picture of a church with what? Nothing but pews. That's really not the church. In fact, the picture on the right is a better example of the church. Amen? Because you're the church, I'm the church, we together collectively make up the church. Last week we talked about it, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Remember that? We talked about that. Pastor Joy and I were up in the air 32,000 feet. We were on a flight from Raleigh to Houston, where once on the ground we would make our way to a ship. An evangelist friend in ministry had given Pastor Joy and I a cruise on Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas. All expense paid. You say, why so? Because the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, give this man a trip. God does these kinds of things, you know it? He speaks to us and tells us to bless someone, give to someone. And you can't ever outgive God. Luke 6:38 says what? Give and it shall be given to you. Amen. You can't outgive God. So, in fact, I told someone just this past week, money given to God is never wrong. It never is. It's never wrong. And so it was a cruise that focused on rest and relaxation, but also some planning for the future, as some 10, 12 key leaders about the United States were all aboard that cruise ship, pastors and evangelists. We were talking about together how we could do things together in the United States and even overseas. And while in flight, the captain came on the air and he said this. He said, attention, passengers. We have an emergency. If there's a doctor on board, we have an emergency in row 11, seat C. We had already seen some people gather there and wondered what was going on, because as fate would have it, Pastor Joy and I were on the back row. And I repeat, he says, we have an emergency. We need a medical doctor to move quickly to row 11, seat C. Pastor Joy leans over to me and she says, honey, go. You got to go. I said, sweetheart, I'm back on the back row now. Head leaned up against the would-be toilet. And I said, honey, he said, medical doctor. I was a little reluctant, but leaned over. I've learned over in the realm of the spirit over the years that the voice of God to my spirit often sounds just like Joy. Did y'all catch that? I looked up ahead as no doctor had responded, but a nurse had stepped forward, and finally a retired general practitioner did, and he joined the nurse and I, and as we attended to this pregnant mother who was hemorrhaging, she was literally bleeding in her seat, losing blood as she was sitting right there 30,000 feet in the air. I informed the flight attendant that I was not a doctor. I said, I'm a minister, and quietly I just laid my hand on the woman. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know her. I didn't know her name. I didn't know anything about her, but I just laid my hand on her and began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And just so you'll understand, I'm not talking about making a scene. I was praying in the Holy Ghost under my breath. Aren't you glad the devil don't even know? He's no good at sign language. He can't even read your lips. And sometimes you can be praying in the Holy Ghost and he not even know it. Okay? So I'm praying in the Holy Spirit and I'm pleading the case of this young lady who's bleeding in her seat, and all of a calm began to settle right there, and the tenseness of her body and the shaking of her body that I felt when I laid my hand on her head just began to calm, and she quieted down, and the doctor made his assessment and the nurse assisted, and soon the captain prepared the flight team for a landing. Within minutes we were on the ground, releasing the mother from the plane first before anybody else got off the plane. And before she moved from her seat, I released my hand from her head, and she kind of turned up slightly and looked to me, and she said, thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much. Last week, we began to talk about the church. Began to talk about those called out ones, those of us who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And Peter reminded us that we're what? A chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And as we look into the Bible, we discover that this
people who belong to God, this holy nation, should be a people who are, in fact, responsive. Respond in the Spirit to bring Christ to a situation. No, I'm not a doctor, but I know a healer. No, I'm not an OBGYN, but I believe God can intervene for this woman, even though we're in the airplane 32,000 feet above the ground. And people of God should not only be responsive, engaged. I hear the Holy Spirit and I involve myself gently into this opportunity for Him to bring hope out of hardship. At least I did so at the nudging of God through the voice of my wife. If I'd have had my way, I'd have been sitting there reading whatever I was reading, minding my own business. But evidently she heard from the Holy Spirit and she nudged me. So not only would we be responsive and engaged, we would be available. God's not often interested in our ability as much as He's interested in our availability. Oh, somebody ought to Facebook that one. God's not interested in your ability. He's more interested in your availability. Make yourself available to be an agent of the Holy Spirit that He can flow through. Make yourself a conduit that the power of God can rush through and meet the need. Come on, somebody. Worship the Lord today. Get excited about what God is doing in your life, in my life, in the life of His church, in the life of the body of Christ. We need to be responsive. We need to be engaged. We need to be available. This is what the church can and should do. We're responsive. We're engaged. We're available for God to use us and anoint us. And we often get involved into the affairs of other people. We're engaged in the moment. We're available for Jesus to flow through us and in many times bring hope and healing. We're a living, transformed life. That's what we're talking about today. Prepare to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Look what Luke records about the church just shortly after she came into being on the day of Pentecost. We talked a little about this in Bible study on Wednesday night. Acts 2 states that the church in the early days of her existence became a living organism. You know, we talked about last week, this is the church, this is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. It's really not about the building, the edifice, the structure, whatever you call it. It's really more about the people that make up the church. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we're going to go through this passage, and I'm going to go through it verse by verse, and I'm not going to read it right now just for the sake of time. But verse 42 says, they devoted themselves. Notice the power of that word. They devoted themselves. Pastor Travis talked about it momentarily in his time on the platform today, that level of devotion. They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching. They couldn't order on Amazon the latest translation of a scripture. They didn't order the ESV or the Message or whatever they wanted to read. They were just devoted. They didn't have the embodiment of a word from Genesis to Revelation. So they devoted themselves to what they had. What did they have? They had the apostles' proclamation. Those things that the apostles were teaching them about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what they devoted themselves to. And I can tell you, despite all the translations that ever come out or will come out, that's what you and I have to devote ourselves to. The teachings of the Lord. The stories, the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. That will get you farther than anything in ministry. That will get you farther from anything in life and living, the teachings of Jesus. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The word there in the original language is what? Koinonia. Koinonia. It is the commonality that we have when we come to the cross. And to the breaking of bread. That's a representation of what? Communion. They devoted themselves to every once in a while just taking a piece of bread and some juice and commemorating what Christ had done for them. Because every time you do this, you do what? You show forth the Lord's death until He comes. His death to me means what? Life. His death to me means victory. His death to me means everything. So they did this. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And last but not least, they devoted themselves to prayer. Something we don't do very well today sometimes. Oftentimes we have to be shoved into a crisis before we ever call on the name of Jesus. But every one of these components of verse 42, Luke bothers to tell us, he's the writer of Acts,
Luke bothers to tell us that they were devoted to this, devoted to fellowship, devoted to the breaking of bread, devoted to prayer. In other words, it wasn't just a thing that they did occasionally. Study the track record of the church today, and you'll find that most of you, or on average, will be at Carpenter Shop International Church a couple of Sundays a month. Some of you are here every week. God bless your heart. But most of us will do 2 Sundays a month. That's the average of the church today. You know, and I told our people Wednesday night, if you don't think that it's a bit more than just a habit in your life that you've come to make habitual, then skip a couple of Sundays, skip 3 Sundays at the church and see if the 4th don't come real easy. Because you have to, you know, we're basically people and creatures of what? Habit. You get up in the morning, do the same thing every day of my life. I get up in the morning, there's a routine that I have, and I do the very same thing. I get up and I take care of the children. Y'all didn't get that? My kids are gone. But Lovey has to eat. Okay? Her wrinkled self. I should have put a picture of her in the slides today. She's a child. She's just like a child. She cries out in the middle of the night. And when she cries out in the middle of the night, an elbow hits me in the side. And I get up. 2:30, 3 o'clock, let the dog out. All she does is squat and pee and come back in and get in the cage all over again. I said, why didn't you just hold it till the morning? She didn't answer the question. She didn't answer the question. She just looks at me with gratitude, and I lock her back in the cage, and then I go get back in the bed. We have to be people of habit. So, you know, we get up, we take care of the kids, we take care of the dog, we brush our teeth, we shower, we ready ourselves, we get the clothes on, we go out the door, we grab the coffee, you know, whatever. You got these routines that you do. But you have to be careful that you don't become so routine and you don't factor Christ in the routine. You say, well, don't reduce him to a routine. I can tell you, you're better off with him in the routine than without him in the routine. Okay, every morning of my life now, and you know, it's been 1st of January. We just turned the page over to this little spiral-bound thing. Pastor Joy was blessed with a little devotion every day. And she was away this week for a couple of nights. She had to be out of town and caring for her father. Pray for him, please. He's in Norfolk General Hospital. And so she was spending the night at the hospital attending to her dad. And she had gotten in the habit of using this certain devotional spiral-bound thing. And so when I got up in the morning, I grabbed the phone and I just positioned it right by the hot tub there or the bathtub. And I said, like that. And I sent it to her and I said, read this. And she sends me back a smiley face. And I go, woo! I'm winning, man. I'm not even there and I'm winning. I sent it to her. Why? Because it has become, since January 1, routine. So the Bible says they devoted themselves. You have to devote yourself to something. If it's not a great study with commentaries laid all over the kitchen table for hours, at least read the Word of God in some devotional thing. The devotion that we give away, Home Life Care gives them away all over northeastern North Carolina and even to the central part of the state, takes 2 minutes a day to read, maybe 90 seconds for some people. Okay? You can get them free. Factor something into your routine. They devoted themselves. They were devoted. My question is, for the believer today, what is it that you're devoted to? They were devoted. This is the very reason that there was life in the early church. This is the very reason there was anointing in the early church. This was the very reason, because of their level of devotion, that there was compassion in the early church. They were selfless. You would never see a picture of the Apostle Paul on Facebook going, never. He wasn't about himself. Okay? It wasn't about him. It was about Christ. I think he said something like this, less of me and more of him. Okay? That's what they were about. And the reason they could so easily die to their self, come on now, and engage into the lives of other people is because of that level of devotion. They embraced the apostles' teachings about Jesus. They connected, according to this verse, with other believers. They shared communion, reminding them of their commitment to salvation, and they spent time in prayer. Verse 3. Everyone was filled with awe. Not just a few, everyone. was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. There was a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the early church, and Jesus was not even there. There was a powerful presence of the living God because Jesus had gone away and he had poured out the Holy Spirit upon the earth as he promised. They waited for the promise of the Father. We've been studying this in the Bible study on Wednesday nights. They waited for the promise of the Father, and the Holy Spirit was released upon all people. Not just one, all people. The Holy Spirit were released upon all of those that had gathered in that upper room. And guess what? In the early church took place because of that. Healings took place because of that. Salvations were frequent. When Peter stood up and preached, guess what? The altar call was full. 3,000 men came to Jesus that day. Salvations were frequent. Folk were set free. The anointing of the Spirit of God was everywhere. That's the way it should be when you and I get up and go to work every day. That's the way it should be. We should go out of the house thinking, what's my assignment today? I know I work for Nucor. I know I work for whatever. I know I work for the school system. I know I'm called to be a dental hygienist or whatever you do. But wherever you go, you should recognize that first and foremost, you're on an assignment from the King of Kings, and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the church today wherever you go. You don't have to wait till Sunday to get your healing. Someone can slip up behind you on a seat in an airplane when you're bleeding in the seat and lay their hands on you, not even know you, and the Holy Ghost can connect to your situation. Come on now. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Verse 44. This is getting good to me. All the believers were together and had everything in common. If you write in your Bible, and you should write in your Bible, no big I's and little U's. Everybody was the same. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was inclusion in the early church, not isolation, not separatism. I get so sick of the separations that the body of Christ specializes in. Number one on the list is race. Black church, white church. That makes me sick. I wonder how God feels about it. We grow up singing red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Then we get to be adults. We go to the black place or the white place. And we do it all in the name of Jesus. Dr. King was right. The most divided hour, the most separate hour on the earth is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you guys for being a multicultural church. Give the Lord praise today. Come on. A multicultural church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was inclusion there, not isolation. John 13, 35 is really the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is speaking in other tongues, but close behind it, if not before it, is by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That love, chase it down if you want to. You're going to find it's defined as agape. Not phileo, not storge, and certainly not the other one. Eros. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have agape love for one another. Agape love is the kind of love that does not judge a person that is in front of you on the highway because they're driving slow. And you say, I wish this lady would get out of the way. And you bypass her like a maniac and discover it's not a her, it's a him. So you judge somebody. I wish this old woman would get out of the way. And it's a young guy, he was just going slow because he's talking on the phone. You got to love people, man. You just got to love folk. Unconditionally love people. You know, some of my family members, you know, I hate to say it, but it's still there. There's still little shades of prejudice in the family. Heard y'all had a bad wreck. Somebody got killed. Were they black or white? What difference does it make? You ever had anybody ask you something like that? Was he a black guy or a white guy? Come on, raise your hand. You have. Why? Because people don't love everybody. People don't love everybody.
I can't help but love everybody. When I was a kid working in the country store with my grandfather's anointing fell on me. His mantle for loving all people fell on me. I love you even if you don't like me. I still love you. I love you if you're black. I love you if you're white. I love you if you're Chinese. I love you if you're Asian. I don't care what you are. I love you. God's given me a love for people. Okay? Well, I don't want to serve there because there's too many Asians. I don't want to go there because there's too many white people. Everybody's white. I don't want to go there because there's black folks. You know? Some of you know, God's help, I've established or beginning to establish a little real estate business in the back end here and somewhere in my life. And God's given me help with that. And I'm preparing for my future. So I don't always want to be dependent upon the church. The church paying me. I don't want to always be there. I want to have a stream of income like Abraham in the Old Testament. The Bible says he had multiple streams of income flowing into his life. He's the father of many nations, and he knew how to earn wealth for himself and make it work for him. Let his money work for him. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. Well, I don't think he should be in that if he's a pastor. Well, you need to pray because God told me to do it. Okay? God told me to do it. And so I'm talking to this person on a person to person here a couple of weeks ago about a piece of property. And she said, well, yeah, I'd be willing to sell it, but I don't want no blacks and no Hispanics here. I said, have a good day. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm not your man. And I got in my truck and left. Oh, you sacrificed an opportunity to make some money. No, I didn't. I made a statement to her that she'll never forget. I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor before I'm ever a realtor. And I said, I love people. And I said, I'm not getting involved in a transaction where I'm trying to manipulate races to sell a piece of property. And I drove off, and the Holy Spirit said, good job. I said, thank you. And guess what happened? I landed my first sale just hours of that. So I got a check coming, y'all. Amen. Amen. Well, I think the church pays him enough money. No, they don't. You switch places with me. You don't even want to follow me, much less do what I do. You don't even want to follow me around. You'd get tired. I still love y'all. And you still love me, right? Verse 44 says, the people were together and had everything in common. They had everything in common. Verse 45 shows us a little example of what we're talking about here. They sold property and possessions. Wow. You know, I thought the possessions were for us. I thought the property was for us. God's given us more. You're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. You're blessed. Those who have much have been assigned much by God the Father. Well, they got everything. God gave it to them. Okay? The reason he gave it to them is because they could be trusted with it. Okay? If you have something, if you have much, then the reason you have it is because God determined a long time ago that you can handle it. And he knows that it won't be lord over your life. So the real test of it sometimes is not how much you have, but how much you're willing to give away. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. How did they do this? They sold their property. They brought the money to the apostles and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, here you go, sold a piece of property, want the church to have the money. I remember several years ago there was a family here in our church who needed a vehicle. They had to catch a ride, had to catch a ride all the time, didn't have any way of getting around anywhere. And I knew someone in the church who had 7 vehicles. So I went to them and I said, hey, I want to ask you something. I said, I counted your vehicles. I said, you got 7. Yeah. Big old smile on his face. I said, God wants you to give away one of them. He said, what? I said, you know, you got one out by the road for sale right now. He said, yeah, you want to buy it? I said, no, I want you to give it away. And he wouldn't do it. He said, I can't do that. I said, no, that's not it. You won't do that. Amen? You won't do that. God wants you to. How do you know he wants me to? Because I came to you, okay? How does God speak today? Through people, okay? through his word, through the still small voice. I said, God wants you to give it away, man. This family doesn't have anything to drive. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. That's okay. God found somebody else to do it. If you won't do it, God will find somebody else to do it. They sold their property and their possessions to give to people who had need. I said it on Wednesday night, and I meant it. You know, if it upsets you, God bless you. Pray about it. We should never have social services. It's not the will of God. Franklin Delano Roosevelt would roll over in his grave if he's seen what a mess we made of social services. We made it like a pair of crutches for humanity. Okay? So where should it come from? The church. The church. The church should be the agent that the world looks to help them in the time of trouble. Well, I called the church. They wouldn't give me nothing because you're so trifling. I've had people sit in my office and they say, hey, could you help me? They're cutting my water off. They're cutting my water. I got to have help with my water. Hang on a second. And they pull out a smartphone nicer than mine. Hello? And they hang up. And I say, well, before I could help you, you'd have to show me that you're doing everything that you can, you know, to make sure the water's on. Well, I am. I said, well, you don't need a cell phone like that. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't hurt people's feelings. Well, so you don't want me to tell them the truth. I had a man here in the church one day. Someone came in during the weekday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. Someone came in and they were asking about something. Can the church do this? Can the church do that? And I looked at him and very gracefully, I still got some grace left in me. And I looked at him, I said, no, I wish we could do that, but there's no way that I could do that. And they said, okay, thank you. And when they left, there was another person in the church who was standing there, and they said, I don't see how you do that. I said, what? They said, you just looked at them and said no. I said, no, I didn't. I said, there's no way that I could do that presently. And I told them, you know, we'll keep you in prayer, and I pray for you now or whatever, but I said, I just can't pay that for you. And he just backed me into a corner. How could you do that? You know the church has got money. We could do that. I said, no, we can't. I said, you don't know the story, man. I know him. I said, he's looking for the church to enable him. He's not willing to hit a lick at a snake. He's not going to do anything. The Bible says a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Okay? If you don't work, you should not eat. Well, I don't like that. Talk to God about it. Don't get mad at me. I don't think he should say stuff about social services. What do you want me to do? Just believe the lie everybody else believes? God's will is for the church to get engaged into the life of people. I can promise you, benevolently, this church does a tremendous job helping people with their needs. We just don't put it on the paper. We just don't put it in the news for people to know. It's private. It's embarrassing enough for them. So it's private. And you know, hey, there's an example. The church gives up, the Bible gives us an example of how people did this, because we go to the story in Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira, and God gives a slice through the pen of Luke. He gives a slice, an example. He says, let me tell you about this couple named Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of property. They bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, not all of it. You see, they wanted to go through the motions. See what we're doing? See what we're doing? We sold property. They wanted to go through the motions and let everybody think that they were just like every other godly person in the church. They went through the motions, and you know what the result of that was? God called on the youth group to haul their bodies out of the building. Dig a hole and put them in it. Because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Awful quiet in the First Presbyterian Church in Ahoskie this morning. Listen, friends, it's the truth. If you think about it, I told you we were going on a journey to talk about the church then and now. This morning, I'm telling you, they gave things, they sold their properties, they gave money, they were willing to give stuff away. If there were cars in those days, they'd be giving cars away. Amen? Pastor Kim Norris, how many of you know Pastor Kim Norris? He comes here and ministers now for the last 7 years. They just gave away their first house at City Church just 3 weeks ago. Gave away a house. Had the lady sitting down there, never had owned a home in her life. Pastor Kim Norris, of the overseer of the church, signs the property over to her, and the church gives the woman a house. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to be the church in northeastern North Carolina that's known for giving big stuff away to people.
That was weak. I said, I'd like to be known as the church who's willing to bless and give things away to people. We've done it for years. 1 year we gave away 13 tractor trailer loads of food right out of this parking lot. When Hurricane Floyd came through, we issued out of this church $65,000 in cash money, went out of this door to people who live behind the hospital and down the road and different places that maybe FEMA didn't make this up. Maybe they weren't able to do all of this and there were other needs. We gave away $65,000 in cash out of this church. Amen? From time to time, they sold property and possessions and they gave. The church in the early days was a giving organism. It was a giving institution. It gave away. Now, you're not going to take advantage of me. You're not going to come and sit and have a smartphone with an unlimited data package and ask me to help you pay your water bill. I'm not doing that. Okay? I will get involved and help you. Show me your situation here. We'll put somebody to assign somebody with you and help you with your finances. We've done that so many times. And most of the time, that's when people bail out. Well, I'm going to be busy. No, you don't want nobody to look at the mess you got yourself in. Hello? Somebody say church then and now. The early church was in the habit of doing these things, but I can't help but know that they did it wisely. They did it of the direction of the Spirit of God. In fact, James addresses this in his epistle. Read the first few verses of chapter 2, James 2, 1 to 4. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, you can't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, hey, here's a good seat for you, bud. But you say to the poor man, hey, you stand right here or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Wow. The early church saw everybody on the same level. And this action and this behavior was perpetual. It happened every day. Look at verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. That was fellowship. They broke bread in their homes. They had, hey, come on over, man. We're throwing some chicken on the grill. And they fellowshiped in the house, okay? They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Bible says because of this, because of these awesome characteristics, what happened? The Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. This love was placed on a platter. This love was given through food. This love was given through the meeting of needs. And they love. Let me tell you something. You won't find a friendlier bunch of people. The Mormons and the Mormons alone are the friendliest group of people on the earth. They'll do anything for you. They'll cut your grass. I lived in the parsonage for 18 years over here behind the fence. And I got smart one day. They were giving away. How many of you, if you'd like a beautiful copy of the King James, dial 1-800. I called the number. I said, I want to see what they're going to do. And I took the number down off the television. And I dialed the Mormon number. And within 24 hours, somebody knocked on my door and had a brand new copy of the King James scriptures for me in my hand. And we were, one of the boys was out in the yard cutting grass or something. They said, hey, you guys mowing your grass? I said, yeah. He said, well, can we help? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you drove to a stranger's house with a copy of God's Word and started cutting their grass? Oh, but you'll shake your finger and talk about the Mormons, but you won't mow nobody's grass. Hello? Y'all need to buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be tight. Okay? This is the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. If you want to know how the Word of God spread and why the church grew so rapidly, it's because they were authentic. They didn't play any games. They were authentic in their love. They broke the bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord, because of what they did, the Lord added to their number those who were just being gloriously saved week after week, day after day. Every day, the Bible says. In fact,
It was the trademark of the early church. It was the thumbprint of the church. This is, they were growing. People were drawn by the love of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of the people that showed them love, kindness, and generosity. If you and I would fall in love with Jesus, come to Bible study, learn more about His Word, pray and fast and love on each other and meet together in each other's homes, I guarantee you a wave of the Holy Ghost would come upon this church like the church hasn't seen in absolutely years. Because there would be such a growth factor taking place on the inside. You wouldn't have any empty seats. People would line up. Why? Because the Spirit of God would be so thick in here, Dylan wouldn't have to even use smoke. Some of y'all didn't get that. The Spirit of God would be in here so thick, man, you could cut it with a knife. Okay? But that's a sacrifice. See, that takes part of you away from you. That's a sacrifice. It takes part of you away from you, and you want all of you. You can't have all of you and serve Jesus. You can't. Well, I'm struggling. You ain't got to struggle. You're struggling because you want to struggle. You're struggling because you want to struggle. You enjoy the attention. Oh, I done rattled somebody's cage now. Demons are flying around the building. I really don't care. We're prepared to deal with demons. Okay? But you and I need to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ and put Him absolutely first. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all this stuff will be added to you as well. So some of y'all listen to me tonight, today, and tomorrow night you could go to Beachwood. Hey, if you can't do Wednesday night, you could go to Beachwood. You could even get a meal for $5, better than any restaurant in town. And you could sit and go through a Bible study that was written by Dr. David Jeremiah. Or you could come Wednesday night, or you could catch a women's group on Tuesday night or Thursday night. Some of y'all just come and eat from the trough on Sunday, and then you struggle all week long because you ain't had no word. Come on now. I just love Pastor Wallace. You did until this Sunday. You got to still love me because you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. And whether you know it or not, the truth will set you free. Well, I'm so tired. I don't feel like doing Bible study on Wednesday night. That's a poor excuse. You didn't have a problem going to Walmart or driving to Greenville, going to Target, and then going to Cheddar's and getting a nice meal. You do what you want to do. Hey? You do what you want to do. The Bible says when you submit yourself to the model of the church in the early days, then you can expect something. Favor, an addition, an acceleration. The Lord will add to your number those who are being saved. Then he gives us an example. I'm going to close down with this. He gives us an example of Acts chapter 3. He gives you, I love the way the Lord inspired Luke here. The Lord inspires Luke, and Luke says, hey, let me give you an example. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. He sat there every day. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. I've been to the gate called Beautiful plenty of times. There's still men begging. They're still laying out there at the gate because it's a gate to the city. It's a gate to a popular area. Right close to the access to the temple. Right close to the Pool of Bethesda, where the sacrifice animals are washed. It's a place that people pass by quite often. And the Bible says when he saw Peter and John to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. He got up out of his seat, aisle 22, moved to aisle 11, laid his hands on him and waited because that person was bleeding in the seat. Are you getting this? Peter and John said, look at us. It's time that you and I go into Walmart and say, look at me. Are you struggling, dear? Look at me. Because I can't give you the money, but I can pray for the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's many times people ask me for money. Many times people ask me for money. Many times I don't give it. But you know what I do? I say, what I have, I'll give you. Let me pray for you right now. And sometimes I've discovered that through the prayer, God gave them far more than the money would have done for them. And there's times I've given money too. There's times the Holy Spirit has spoke to me and told me to give money to a total stranger. A total stranger. People do that, you know, in the body of Christ. I walked into Walmart one day when I was living here in the Parsons. I walked into Walmart and I was just shopping, looking around. You know, we wanted a table and chairs for the back deck of the Parsonage. And I looked at them and I just said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, man, I had no idea they were so expensive. And the one I was really wanting was $400. It was nice. I just came back home. I was coming back home, and I'd called Joy, and she said, did you get it? I said, no, we're not going to be able to handle that. I said, it's not there right now, okay? Well, a week goes by, and I go to Walmart again for something else, and when I walked in the door, I went straight. I'm a left-brain shopper. I already told you that. I went and picked up what I was supposed to get and get out of there, and I'm going to the register, and a person walks up to me and says, excuse me. Said, would you please receive this blessing? And I said, what? They said, open your hand. And they placed it in my hand. It was folded up. I said, why? They said, I don't know. All I know is I saw you come in the entrance door of Walmart just a few minutes ago. And the moment your foot hit this side of the threshold, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, give that man $400. I said, what? I went and grabbed that set that was $400 and loaded it up in my truck and took it to the Parsonage. Had a happy wife. Amen. She said, what happened? I said, this person comes up to me just out of the blue and says, hey, the moment you stepped across the threshold of that door and came in, the Holy Spirit said, give him $400. Okay? I've had that happen so many times in my life. I've had it happen with bigger money too. I have. I've had people to give me. I just told you in this sermon, I was given a all-expense-paid cruise on a ship called the Oasis of the Seas. I didn't pay nothing for it. Well, the pastor sure travels all the time. You would too if somebody gave you a trip. Don't be jealous. Rejoice. You should rejoice when I'm blessed, because you should bless me. You should go out of your way to bless me. You know why? Because those whom you bless, God's going to bless you. Those you bless the man of God, God's going to bless you. Amen? I've discovered that. Bless people. Bless people. Give to people. And God will give to you. You say, well, that's kind of manipulative, isn't it? No, it's the word of God. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will I cause men to pour into your bosom? I'm not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess it, and possess it kind of preacher. I'm not. But I know one thing, I know what works. And you cannot outgive God. You just can't. There's been so many of you that have blessed me and my family. Many times you've blessed us. And we thank God for it. We don't take it for granted. Be still. I ain't done yet. Peter said, verse 6, don't have the money. But what I do have, I'll give you. Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. I have given you this morning a very adequate example of what God is looking for, not just in the church then, but in the church now.
And see, some of y'all hadn't passed the easiest of tests. Some of you don't even tithe your income. How are you going to go around giving to somebody else and you don't even give to God what belongs to Him? Well, I'm just struggling. You're going to always struggle if you don't trust Him with the tithe. You're going to always struggle. You can't make enough money. Your bucket has a hole in it. You can't make enough. Pastor Joy said he cursed himself. You put a curse on yourself when you do not give the Lord His tithe. Because He says, you test me in this and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. You say, well, he's preaching on money. The church must need money. No, we had the best year we've ever had. We don't need money. We've had a great year. We've had a tremendous year. And guess what? This year is going to be better. We're going to have a better year this year than we did last year. Why? Because we're children of the living God. We're blessed. We're blessed when we go in. We're blessed when we go out. We're blessed. We're blessed by God. We are children of the King. And God meets our needs. And the reason that He does is because of faithful people. Some of you today that don't tithe right now will write your first tithe check today before you leave, or next week when you have a chance to drop it in. Because you got to start doing what's right if you expect a good outcome. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. God is shaking His church. First part of this year, first quarter of the year, talking about the church then and the church now. And I don't know about you, but I love this message. It blessed my heart, amen, because I see the example of what God looks for in the life of His church today, amen. Praise the Lord. Man, why don't you just stand and just come. And then come and get in His presence for just a moment. Just come on around the altar. You know, sometimes we forget that sometimes there's just tremendous power in just standing collectively in His presence and just calling on Him. Come on, slip out of your seat. Just come on in here real close. Hallelujah. Preachers, grab your, move around. Lay your hands on some people. Prophesy over some people. Come on, move on in closely. There's going to be some people moving around, praying for people, speaking prophetic words over you. And if you're here in the body of Christ, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Listen, if you got a prophetic unction for somebody, go to them. Speak that word over them. It might be exactly what they need. Come on, move in closely. Move in closely. Move in closely. There's people coming. Move in closely. Go ahead and lift up your hands and just begin to love on Him. Just begin to love on Him. Just begin to love on Him. Hallelujah. Strengthen your church, Lord. Move through this altar this morning, God. Strengthen your people. Empower your people. Call your people to a new level, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, let the wind of your presence this morning just envelop us. The wind of your presence and your power just empower us right now around this altar. In the name of Jesus.
The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Place, fill our hearts with your love. Gina. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Spirit of God, for fresh on us. you for the moving of your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you, God, for destinies being rearranged. Come on, somebody say that. Destinies being rearranged. What the enemy intended is canceled. And God says, my destiny comes forth. My destiny comes forth. And God, I thank you for a hedge of protection. Your word says that angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. Hear this, the Lord says, I am guarding you in all your ways. I am surrounding you, even as you've sang it today. My presence is with you. I go before you. I bless your going out and your coming in. And the Lord says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And the Lord says, I am your friend. Hallelujah. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Father, we speak over your people today, trusting and believing you, God, for the best. We're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Make it your prayer. God, make me like the first church. Yeah, we like lights. We like smoke. We like new songs, guitars, pianos. But make us like the first church. It has nothing to do with all that other stuff. I think God likes that. I think if God was in a Husky, he'd probably come to this church. I think if Jesus came walking into a Husky, he'd say, hey, somebody told me about Carpenter Shop. I think he'd come here. More of his presence. More of his presence. Let's believe God for it in 2019. Praise the Lord. Don't forget to go by the cafe. They got some tasty treats there. If you're a guest here today, please, please don't miss the guest center. Get your gift there. Fill out your papers. We'd like to have a record of your visit. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.